The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Hey, hey, hey you. It's the Artist D here, and I just wanted to tell you that Mr. Frank Cotolo, is on right now.
Chronicles started in a garage. Broadcasting now, tipping the brink of your sound barrier. I'm clipping away. Y2K, here we go. A bottle, take a pill, hold that ghost, keep the faith, roll away the stone, pass the ammunition, and follow the bouncing ball. Here we go again. Oh, it's dangerous out here. This show may impair your ability to drive or operate machinery, so use carefully until you become familiar with its effects. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man's name is George, the title of the show. It's me and co-host Jeremy Long. Co-host Jeremy Long. Co-horsing us into it. Cotolo Chronicles by GK Plus 14. Philosophical entertainment. From ice cap to ice cap. from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Tell him in the other language, Mr.
Bing. Cthulhu Chronicles.
Philosophical entertainment. Relevant to relevant interventions. As the music fades in the background, I've clipped all over the place. Isn't this great? I feel like I'm some kind of rebellion is going on. Just keep clipping. I hear it in the background. This really, there, it really, it's got that echo. It sounds like it's down the block, down and out, down the very alleyway of the movie, The Third Man. I haven't played this in so many times, it's been so long. I thought I'd just have it in the background, kind of trickling off the walls there. My name is Frank Cthulhu, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, and the show is Cthulhu Chronicles. We will be chronicling philosophical entertainment and relevant irreverence. The Netarati, the couple surfers, the Netaholics, the Infomaniacs, all running to their special e-device right now. And even as we speak, what is going on with my numbers and words are just corrupting through my mouth. Co-host Jeremy Long right now is tweeting, he's booking the face, he's doing all the stuff on social networking you need to do, and showing our faces as we are here now live from the fantastic offices and studios of this place here, where we do Cthulhu Chronicles and have done it every year since the internet began. We are here for an absolutely wonderful time and some really deep thought. It's been so long since I played this, and I love it so much. They're playing, what kind of musical instruments are they playing? A. Ballylikas. B. Zithers. C. Mandolins. Jeremy?
C.
Wrong! Zithers! They're playing zithers! Don't you know Greek music? You know Greek! You don't know a lot of Greeks like I do. You know some Greek. You know the monks. The monks are Greek. The monks are Greek, by the way. The name of my new book, it'll be out next week. And it goes along with all, there's gonna be a whole shelf of my books available at Bookbusters, including, yes, it's gonna be The Monks Are Greek, and of course that'll be right next to A Repulsive Form of Gravity by Frank Cthulhu, The Fudge Factor, just finished and already, already licensed to Paramount Pictures, to be a major motion picture. When You Whoosh Upon a Star, all about science and the universe, and why God has three legs or something. And it's not a solstice, it's an equinox, you jerk. You jerk is in parentheses.
Colon, you jerk.
Yeah, it's in a colon. Hi, how are you all? We came in with the Third Man because it's been so long, and I was thinking about how long it's been earlier this week when I was doing something or other, because I do many things, and these thoughts just like flow through my head, and I'm thinking, how the heck long has this been going on, you know? And then Thursday comes up, and I'm out like Thursday night in the world, I mean, where there are people, you know, I'm not like sequestered in this castle of mine, and you know, where darkness falls when the daylight burns out. And darkness falls as darker and blacker than almost anything in the world. We look out these windows here right now. If you could look out these windows right now, it wouldn't matter. Just think of black, all black, nothing, no light. Where there is no light, there is only darkness. Speaking of darkness, Jeremy Long's with us again today, and you've been gone for a long time. You've been out there doing amazing things for humanity, haven't you?
Yes, making people laugh.
Making people laugh. Hey, don't make me laugh, all right? That's the sentence. Jeremy Long is with us, and it's a good time to have Jeremy with us, because this show that I'm going to talk about, well, I'm not going to talk about this show. The show I'm going to talk about, this Y2K plus 14, look at this. This is the last show of May, Y2K plus 14.
Whoa.
And you know, it's so stupid, and I admit to being this stupid, but every year, the same stupid things happen, and yet we go, wow, right? It's like, hey, look at how, look, it's still light and it's 8:15. Like it never happened in our lives. Wow. It's the first time it ever happened. And we're like, wow. And I'm going, it's May. My, did that month go fast? Like every month doesn't go by fast if you think of it in a certain way.
April goes by faster. Because it has less.
I wonder if you looked my way. How do you, can, if you see it, you see this, it's not, this show stopped being built for two people years ago. So, but if you have your own mic, see, try to work your way around
what
so that
you
can
to
talk into it. No, just, you know, that's it. Okay, you're fine.
Hold it.
You can do that too if you want to hold it, but, so I'm thinking, the last couple of shows have been so perpetrated.
So bad.
What? So bad.
Because I haven't been there.
Oh, I see. Ooh. I see. Huh? Well, you know, the Jeremy Long Show will begin airing.
It already has.
On Thursday nights. When? Oh, you got your, telling me about your, you got a blog and you do, you
just wait. One, it's once a month. It's not once a week like this fabulous show.
You once a month, because that's pretty much all you can handle. You put on, you say things on the blog, right?
Yeah. It's like, it's an audio podcast.
It's an audio podcast. No, of
once
course.
A month. Yeah,
there's no such thing as what is? Oh, they're video podcasts.
Yeah.
You're right. They're audio. Is it just an audio podcast?
Yeah.
But you can have an audio podcast and then just have a picture. It's really only an audio podcast, but you put pictures up.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
But you do just right. Just
audio.
Just voice. Tell them the URL.
The URL is.
What?
Weebly.com/ Winston Simmons Productions.
Weebly?
Weebly.
Now, without doing a commercial, what is Weebly? Is that another
site?
It's like
a website making website.
I was disturbed yesterday because I told me about this website. I haven't gone there yet.
This one? Weebly?
No, not this. Not Weebly. We're done with Weebly.
Screw Weebly.
You should be Weekly on Weebly. That would be a great name. Weekly on Weebly with Jeremy Long. Oof. Once again, I one-upped you. I'll do Weekly. I'm going to do that. No, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do that like I'm going to write all these books, you know? All the titles, no books. One of these days I am going to do a show with and tell you about the books that I would write if I could live as long as it would take to write those books, because I had the titles to all of them. You only heard some of them.
You have to hire ghostwriters.
I have. Literally, I could be a ghostwriter if I die and write it, right? If I die and still wrote it. But that doesn't happen. Only in the dreams of little boys and conservatives. Does that So I've been fighting a whole bunch of things. Like I'm tired of. I keep telling them, look, I'm not a liberal. I'm beyond liberal. I think I am. I've created a whole new area of consciousness. Okay, and these guys, and they're never going to catch up with me. I know this sounds egotistical, but I know it does. But what can I do? I'm way ahead of everyone. Like so, and they should fear getting to where I am, to the place I am, because not many people can handle this every single day of their lives, okay? To be in this area.
I fear I'm getting awfully close.
Well, I don't know. It's going to take you a little bit longer, I think, and you'll find out you'll find out. I don't know when you'll find out, because that's not part of my consciousness. I don't know, and I don't know those things. But I'm sick and tired of just about everyone, except the people who connect with me through this show, through my books, of course, at Lulu, through my Molotov memoir.
Buy my stuff.
Yeah, still, people who buy my stuff are old parts of my. You see, I'm not like those guys, like those dumb fat gas bags and those stupid white-haired jerks on talk radio. I'll say it. Okay, you're not going to lose anymore. So it's not like I have to come on here and be nice to this person, that person, the other person. And I'm not being angry. I'm just being truthful, because that's always the way it's been. I was always on top of and ahead of all of them, and they didn't care, and they didn't want to be here, and they didn't want anything to do with me. Now they're all on top of this stupid internet thing, you know, like it's theirs. And I say this, and they should all drop dead. How about that? And will you quote me on that? Name names. You know, I want to tell everyone about something. Also, speaking of name and names, I want everyone to, well, I guess you have to have, HBO. About a lot of people have HBO now, don't they?
Yeah, it has some good programming.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend, if nobody knows about, it's a movie that was a play 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why I'm interested in this per se. It's because, like I said, I feel like I was ahead of the curve. If there's a curve on internet broadcasting, I'm way ahead of it, okay? Because I was here when nobody was here, just talking. Now, that sounds stupid, but I had faith that someone would come by and listen and that something would happen. And, you know, so when things are happening and you're there, okay, you're on the cutting edge. That's what they call the cutting edge, when things happen, you're there. There was a play, and I forgot the guy's name, Kelly Langham or something. I just find, you know me, I just find names around. Kelly Langham or whatever.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a TV movie, an HBO movie that was made about a play which was no, it wasn't reinvented. It was revived 2 years ago, but it was on Broadway when the topic of the play was going on at the time in the 80s, and it's a wonderful play that's now a movie, and it's available on HBO. I'm not advertising HBO. Don't go out and buy HBO and say, "Hey, Frank told me if I buy HBO." Don't do that. And don't even use that voice. I never want to hear that voice again, all right? If you ever walk up to me and say that and use that voice. But this is really serious, because I lived through a lot of this. Why don't I just tell them what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Leave them in suspense.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What? No, you don't know it. There's a TV movie. It's not a TV movie. Well, it is, because HBO is TV. But, you know, you can't call them TV movies anymore.
Technically.
Because you could watch them on, it's an iPhone movie, it's an iPad movie, it's a computer movie, because you could watch these things. It's a streaming movie. It's a...
All movies are streaming movies.
Yeah, okay. This wonderful piece called The Normal Heart.
The Normal Heart.
The Normal Heart.
Say
was a play, and I recommend everybody see it. If you, it doesn't matter. Your sexual preference does not matter, but this is a brilliant piece that has a number of, and I never liked this guy. Do you know Mark Ruffalo? Ruffalo. I always call Ruffalo because
Ruffalo.
Shuffling off to Ruffalo. I don't like that name. He should have changed it.
Yeah.
But I say Rafa. Anyway, that you know
I
that
like
guy.
Ruffalo. I don't like the name Mark.
What was he in? Wasn't he in that movie with the with
the
Now
Avengers.
You See It, Now You Don't?
Yeah, he was in that one too.
What was he in?
The Avengers.
He was in the Avengers. He was the Hulk.
Well, yeah, Bruce Banner slash.
You're
the Hulk.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Whew, boy, I figured that one. He's brilliant in this. And I don't like him, which goes to show you. I mean, you just have certain preferences for actors and not actors and people. And I just don't, go for the guy. He's brilliant in this. And I'll tell you who plays a straight part. And that's a funny way to put it, a straight part, because it's not straight. The guy who plays, I was going to say, you see TV, you see what happens to my mind, how I have to, this is what's amazing. I have to organize this as it comes out. And it comes out in bits and pieces. I was going to say Sheldon Leonard, because I'm talking about TV, but I don't mean Sheldon Leonard. And I was going to say Sheldon Cooper, who is the character, not the real person who plays the character Sheldon Cooper, but an actor named Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory.
Of course.
Is brilliant in this.
Good friend.
He's brilliant in this. And if you get a chance to see this, please do. It's a bit shocking, and no matter what you feel, and I know there are people out there who won't watch it, and I know people who know me and people who've been on the show and people who are part of this world or what have you. They're way back there. they're not caught up with me. Way back there. Okay. I'll be yelling at them. And they'd go, "I never watch that piece of garbage that read about it." The Normal Heart. Normal Heart is a brilliant, brilliant piece, and it's a courageous piece because it's all about the first people who had AIDS and this wave of AIDS that began in New York back in the 80s. I didn't just live through this in some ways. I actually know people who died, and most of the cast, not the cast, most of the characters in this cast die from this, and just how incredible, and I'm always talking about how things have changed. When you see this and you realize that everything that they're doing to try to spread the word, I shouldn't use spread, I guess, just to try to tell everybody what's happening, with AIDS, and that it's just a scourge going on due to rampant sex, they decide to try to find out, not just find out what, because they don't know it's AIDS. They don't call it like, hey, they just found AIDS. They don't know. They don't know what it is. They don't know what. They called it some kind of cancer. But all it's, and it really is like a monster movie. It's like there's this strange virus going around. It's killing these people. And we got to find out how to get rid of it or what's going on with it. And who's getting it? And why is this guy? And you're not getting it. Okay. Anyway, there's no, they're actually using phones to call people. They got phones on, I mean, phones off the hook, phones. They got to use, check this out. When they're using it, they're using Xerox machines and copiers. And what was the name of that one? That one thing. It used to, every copy came out blue. Put it in the bunk, and you don't even remember, you're so young. Anyway, when they don't have the convenience of the technology today that you have, there's no social network, there's no internet, and everything they have to do to try to get to people, and no less New York, the world, because they realize this thing's blowing up, and everything they have to do is done, just by, I can't even remember that time when that existed. So it's fascinating. It's wonderful acting. It's great drama. And it's courageous, as I said, because this was done when the scourge was going on. It was on Broadway, and there were people who picketed it. They wouldn't go in there. I'm not going in to see things about queers, and I'm not going. They pick out. They just, horrible. And you realize that that at any given time in your life, in this world, in this culture, in any culture, you could be set aside. It doesn't matter if you're homosexual, if you're black, if you're tan, if you're tall, if you're short. Remember, short people got no business being alive. Remember short the whole deal, people. Right? And it doesn't matter. You never know when you're going to be put aside and shot. As it is, people talk behind your back. I know they do. You know they do with me.
Oh, they do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, I've talked to people who've talked behind your back directly to me, and I don't even tell you. But the point I'm trying to make here is if you get a chance to see The Normal Heart, please do, because it transcends what's happening today, and it really makes us realize how time, we're still doing this, we're still doing all this stuff, and down the Hallelujah Trail, I must say this, you don't hear about AIDS and HIV the way you used to because of technology and how great it's gotten, and because we're able to sit here and talk to you through this, and you're able to pick up your phone. We did a selfie, and now we're on Twitter. Are we on Twitter?
Yeah.
Did everybody retweet that? Let's break Ellen DeGeneres.
Hashtag.
Let's break her record, right?
Hashtag Cotolo Chronicles.
Yeah, hashtag Cotolo Chronicles, and then retweet this thing. Now, if you don't have a phone, quickly, we'll wait. Go out and buy one. Hold on. I think you could go to eBay quick. No. My name is Frank Cotolo. My man is named the title of the show. I got all these books out. We're retweeting. We're doing everything. And the thing is, we're going to talk about something digital because there's some wild stuff going on at that. I didn't even notice what's going on. And I know that Jeremy, that's why it's another good reason that you're here, because you could probably help me with some of this stuff.
Can I?
I don't, it's your generation and you play. I mean, look, whenever there's some kind of, action, digital oriented movie, you're there, right? I mean, you're out there. It's like, any tweets. And that's what people, I don't get this.
I'm tweeting the picture.
I don't really want everybody to know where I am at every moment. Why do people do that? Frank Cotolo in Kmart. Frank Cotolo's at Kmart. Do you realize what a social network has done for the hitman business? It's absolutely fabulous. It's been wonderful. You always, where are we going to find that guy? Get your phone, turn it on. He'll always tell you where he's located. He'll tell you, where do we kill him? I don't know, wherever you want. How about in between Kmart and the insurance and Pinnacle Health? Hey, yeah, that would be a guess. Let's kill him in front of Pinnacle Health. So don't tell everybody, it's amazing. The same people, I just realized this, and that's what's another great thing about this show. It just makes me realize these things and say them publicly without thinking about it. But the very people who complain about internet privacy are the people who are constantly telling you what's happening in their lives, what they like to eat, where they're located on Facebook and Twitter. What these, you know, do you want some privacy? Do what I do. Lie. Just fool around. Have some fun. You don't have to do anything I do. I really don't care. My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Jeremy Long is with us, but I'll tell you what we should care about. We should care about the heartless and the inconsiderate and compassionless. I don't even want to look up the words. Why don't you go get a thesaurus? You don't have one? Go buy one now. We'll wait. Okay.
We're doing a lot of waiting this show.
While you get your phone. But what are we doing over the next couple of weeks? Don't forget many other things as we go into June. We're going to have another Savino Cotullo in June. Yeah. And we're going to have Dr. Waldar back. I want to get Sky Hall back.
Yeah.
Sky Hall, of course, Hot Spot Radio Wednesday nights at SRN and any other number of places. And thank you for the two new stations that picked us up in rebroadcast.
Thank you.
Thank Texas Online. They must love me in Texas. Huh?
However.
You know, if you won't talk like, I know people in Texas, and you know what? You get on the phone and you don't, and they don't go, how to do that. They don't do that. That's,
do they do?
No, I'm talking to, some of them do talk like Clint Eastwood though. Yeah. Hey. It's a hell of a thing killing a man, taking his pants. Shooting bullets through him, making his kidneys fail, having his brain bleed. Remember Unforgiven? Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, you saw that one.
I have to know.
Oh, you have to see it. You have to know that one?
No, I just have.
You just happened to know that. The hell of a thing killing a man. What was the character's name? Oh, yeah, I'm right. Okay, that's right. But you know the Hulk. He knows what follows.
I'm not a Western fan.
You don't have to be a Western fan. Unforgiven is not a Western. What have I told you? What have I taught you? Why did you not make notes? My name is Frank Cotullo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And we're cooking with gas here. Y2K plus 14.
Someone commented on the photo.
What was the photo? Someone commented on our photo. What did they say?
Why doesn't Jeremy have earphones?
This is a point that I've brought up
many times.
Why do they care what you have if you have earphones? And by the way, they're called headphones. Do you call them earphones now because they're connected to, because those little things they have now that go into the contraptions?
Well,
you don't call them headphones?
She actually said, when does Jeremy get earphones, and are they still calling them earphones?
She said that?
Yeah, it seems archaic.
Seems okay. Well, that's what we're talking about. You know, it's funny. And I'm glad she's listening and understanding. Oh, she may be not listening. Maybe she's just looking at your picture.
David Smith liked it.
He liked it, of course. Well, you know, when he was here on the show, it's amazing how many people are not here anymore. So consider that, Jeremy. My name is Frank Cotullo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Philosophical entertainment relevant to reference.
You're slipping a lot tonight.
Am I slipping? I'm like on fire tonight, aren't I? I'm on fire.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that's what you meant by slipping. Slipping as in on fire. I think if I looked it up in the thesaurus, what, don't have a thesaurus? I'll wait. Go get one. Somewhere in your house.
Choose 1 hour delivery on Amazon.
Wow. They're going to do that too with drones. Right? It's a 1 hour delivery with the drone.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're here. What else are we doing? We'll break at the hour, and then everybody can go do their poop toops and stuff and doops. Well, oh, I told you other things that we're going to
talk about.
I'm talking about a lot of things, okay?
Maybe a lot of things.
No, we didn't. It was a lot of things.
AIDS.
And some of it was important. Our Cambodian cocktails hour will.
When is that?
Will in June. In June.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. It's in June.
Because in
Robin,
May,
I'm as sure as Robin Matthews is coming back on. I know people still ask me, you don't know her. You don't know her. Why? Because I'm alternative radio. I'm on broadcast. You don't know her.
We know her.
Well, why do they say things like, you don't know her?
No, they say, you don't know her.
And other people are going to be on. A while ago, I talked to Dana. Should we say call her Dana or Dana?
Daners?
That's what you call her, Daners?
I don't know. That's her name, you think.
Daners? Oh, yes, that's right, Daners. Yeah, right.
Yeah, Daners.
She's been on once.
By Daners.
Yeah, we're going to. She said she'd come on again, but then she said She might want to be on live, and I'm going, oh, my God, you got to take a nine-hour ride just to be here.
I don't know if it's 9 hours. Isn't it like maybe 2 hours?
It feels like 9 hours. I mean, you may come here, and then the show feels like 15 minutes when you hear, holy crap, is that it? I came all this way for that? That's just me, and other people will be on, too. Didi Shea, last week, thank you. Didi, oh, you call her Denise. That's a personal name. I call her Didi. It was great last week, and Didi will be on. A lot of people are going to be on again, and we're going to do a lot of things. We just don't have planned any of it.
Adam Sandler coming on?
Adam Sandler will never come on the show because he
won't return your call.
No, he'll just, he wants to be like the center of attraction, and let's face it. It just, Well, it can't help.
You guys can't compete.
It can't help but be me. He would just sit there and compete,
Yeah.
And you know what? And then in the long run, we'd get down to, we would do all the competing. We'd finally come down to the fact, oh, yeah, well, who has more money? And then I'd go, welcome to the Adam Sandler show. And I'd leave because he's going to win that one. I'm not a fan of Adam, but I've said this before. I respect Adam greatly for one thing that I noticed he did when he made it. I don't know, and I can't tell you. I think he's truly a phenomenon. Something that no one expected. And I knew of him and saw him failing miserably before any of this started. And it just looked, nobody would bet on him becoming the incredible force that he's become in Hollywood. But so through it all, he picked up his audience and what have you, and it really made a statement about the times. But I never went for anything he did. Anything. I don't understand. I don't get it. And I don't get everybody who wants to follow him through the gates of hell. Okay. But I'll tell you one thing. Let me tell you one thing.
Yeah.
He really took care of his friends and he takes care of his friends. The people in his, who grew up with him in the business, they all show up in his movies. He finds ways to make movies. For some of these people, he was the money behind a great movie it's a stupid movie. It's a horrible movie. Got like a half a star, but I love it and I was going to say Dana Andrews, but that's a guy who was in the 40s. I'm talking about Dana Carvey, who was in it's the one where the guy changes faces.
Master of Disguise.
Yeah, The Master of Disguise. What a stupid, dumb movie, but I laugh. It makes me laugh so much. And, Dana Carvey, who left Saturday Night Live and started to go into movies, and he was a miserable failure in films. Okay, miserable. And
what about Wayne's World?
Listen,
he was good in Wayne's World.
Yeah, but he's by himself. He can't. Yeah, right.
As a lead. Yeah.
Excuse me. It's a cough button. And I sit here and I tell you this. I know it's my opinion, but it's my show. You want to have an opinion like this and say it to billions of people? Get your own show or get a blog like Jeremy has at Weeby Beebies or wherever it is. Weeblies, Deeblies.
That's just a website.
Yeah, it's just a website. But if you put Dana Carvey next to Adam Sandler and you do, I think you could do a poll of every person on the face of the earth, and you're going to know that Dana Carvey is immensely more talented in so many ways than Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler's just a big jerk. And that, apparently, and that's the place. I don't know him. He's a nice guy, and I know he's a nice guy. Because, where would half of these guys be working? You think they'd be working anywhere? Name them. Would they be working anywhere?
Rob Schneider?
Huh? Yeah. What about Schneider, okay? Who suddenly, he has enough money in his pocket, and he's suddenly becoming this right-wing guy, then the right, it's crazy, nutty. Who else?
Fatso Batso.
What's his name?
Chris
Thomas?
Harley?
No, he's dead.
Yeah.
Fatso from The King of Queens.
Oh, Kevin.
Kevin Fatso. He's not going to be on the show. And he'd probably, if he was on the show, I would say, hey, Fatso. And he'd hang up. He's good. I liked his sitcom. But, where would he be? No way. You think he'd be making movies now? No. There's no movies for him. And as it is, they keep making movies even when they bomb, because they don't bomb. Sandler's company, his machine, getting these guys out there to the same audience and stuff, brilliant. Norm Crosby, is that his name?
Which one?
Norm Crosby? No, that was
Norm
old...
Norm McDonald?
Norm McDonald had a farm. Norm McDonald...
Yeah, but he's a good guy.
No, listen... This doesn't have anything to do with good guys, okay? He can't make movies. He tried to make movies on himself. He made a couple of them there, right?
Dirty Work?
Yeah, Stinko's movies. What was shit?
That one was good.
No. I'm not talking about what we like now either.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because I could, you know, no matter what I say about Adam Sandler, this movie's just going to keep making money, and his formula works. Okay, until it doesn't work anymore. And what doesn't work is, of course, he tried to be serious there in a couple of movies, and they were horrible. And I think that nobody wanted him in those. Did you see the one about he's the bum and whose family died at 9/11? What was the name of that one?
Oh, yeah, Rain Over Me.
With, who was that, Cheadle?
Yeah, Cheadle.
Was that Ron Cheadle? Don Cheadle?
Don Cheadle.
Sounds like a game, doesn't it? Hey, let's play some Cheadle. Let's play some Cheadle. Hey, want to play some Cheadle?
Sounds like a chip. Hand me the back of the Cheetos.
Hey, Cheadles. Cheadles. Hey, let's have some Cheadles. Hey, we're going to watch Adam Sandler. Let's get some Cheadles. Cheese Cheadles. They got that coming through.
Cheese Cheadles.
Vanilla Cheadles. Toasted Cheadles. Baked Cheadles. That was horrible. He was horrible. He did his best. And he was in another movie, too, which I strained to see the whole thing. It's about him and some girl. He falls in love with some girl, and he works in some office.
Punch Drunk Love.
Yes. Oh, that God.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Is that one of your favorite movies?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, it's your generation, and you might see something about it, but you know, I wouldn't put it in a time capsule, okay? I wouldn't put... Even if I had a big bag of Cheetos with me.
You put the Cheetos...
I wouldn't do it.
You know how I like to spend my Saturday nights?
How would I know? I'm never there.
Eating Cheetos and watching Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah, you would. You would. Cheadle Punch.
Having an Adam Sandler drama marathon while eating Cheadles.
What's going to happen to that group of improv people you have there now? They're gone?
No, I think they're still going to do stuff. I just won't be in.
You're going to leave them in the dust.
Well, I have to.
Yeah, you should.
No, because he wants to take a break over the summer, and he's like, so we'll come back after the summer. And I'm like,
Go ahead. Now, remember what you're saying now on that's saying it in public. And if someone hears it, it gets back to him. So make sure you want to say this before you say it.
Well, I disagree with taking a break over the summer because I thought we were doing well.
There should be no breaks.
Yeah.
Why did he want to take a break over the summer?
He doesn't think we're going to draw much of an audience. I think
probably not.
More of an audience.
Where?
Huh?
Doing what? Doing that?
Doing
where?
The same thing.
Oh, you mean for money?
No, we never did it for money.
No. Well, I mean...
We only charged because we had to make the money back that we paid to rent the theater out.
Well, someone's not being inventive. Not that we don't need to get into this now. Someone's
we'll
not being.
Later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
This isn't on-air stuff.
Yeah, that's okay though. It's probably a great for you because you could write more jokes and stand up on your own more, and that's what you need to do. And let them.
Away from the stand-up scene for a while. I'm recording an album.
Are you doing an album?
Yeah.
You're going to do a CD? Look at this. He's announcing it. This is an announcement now.
This is kind of like the pressure.
Is it going to be on sale at Weebly?
Yeah, it will be on sale.
You know, Louis sold a million units. Louis C.K. A million units of his junk, and then that had to be, you know, so go ahead. What is it?
It's going to be called Everyone's a Comedian.
Everyone's a Comedian.
And I actually have a photo session set up with a photographer in a week or two to shoot the front cover. We have a very clever idea for the front and back cover.
Well, don't give it away. Now someone else might take it.
I'm not giving it away.
People are scared.
And then I have a show coming up.
Where?
We're working on it.
You don't know when?
I might do a small tour.
Well, you have to
July.
You have to do stuff to sell that. That's start selling it.
Well, no, because I have to record it. I'm going to record it in front of a live audience.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you need anybody to freshen up to when you sweeten it up with laughter and stuff afterwards, it's a horrible thing to say, isn't it? I mean, it is a horrible thing to say because I the only reason I got involved with Jeremy was after seeing him on stage, and I said, this kid's got something. I was like one of those guys. Hey, this kid's got something.
Sweet.
This kid's got something. And matter of fact, I put you on stage. That was when I was running that talent show over at the talent. It was
the
amazing talent show, the Void of Talent. And then you came along. The Void of Talent show. It was great. It was fun.
And then what?
And then that's when I saw you, I think. That's when I really saw
that's
you do
your... That's the first time
I saw you on stage.
Before that, and I was like, Frank, I'll come to your show and that you're hosting the talent thing.
Yeah, but I said you come. I'm the one who invited
you. Me to come?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you...
But yeah, that's the first time you saw me, yeah.
And I went, you know what? And the audience, well, forget about it. I mean, I understand what it's like. I've done stand-up. I've done sit-down, stand-up, lay-down.
Well, that audience was actually pretty good. You and I have been to a couple of shows of mine that didn't do so well.
Yeah, I mean, I understand how that works, but I think you definitely need to do. So you're going to do that live? You're going to do the material live?
I want to record it live.
That's a good idea.
So I'm going to kind of gather together my greatest material and then also put some new stuff in there. I'm thinking like a half hour.
Okay. Well, I may come to some of those shows.
Okay.
Or I may not. I mean, I don't know what you want me to, and I don't know when I can. I don't know when what times they're. Can you want to write those times down, please?
You don't know yet. I'll announce them. It's going to be a small tour in July, probably.
And where is it going to take you?
Around the East Coast.
Around the East Coast, New York, Philadelphia.
Yeah, probably.
Pittsburgh.
I know a lot of people I know a lot of people.
Lancaster.
And a lot of clubs in that area that I can.
Buffalo.
No, not Buffalo. I'm thinking New York City,
Philly,
Pittsburgh.
Why not go to Brooklyn? You got to go to Brooklyn. Why not go to Brooklyn?
I just said New York City.
But that's like Manhattan. You're just talking about Manhattan.
Maybe Brooklyn.
Manhattan, New York City, Philadelphia.
Okay, let's do this. All around New York City, Maryland, Delaware.
Maryland,
Pittsburgh,
like Bel Air, Baltimore. Yeah.
Baltimore,
Bel Air.
No.
Annapolis?
Maybe.
That's where the Greeks are, right?
Well, then we'll invite the monks to that show.
Hope the monks will book. Where else?
Well, definitely around this area, Pittsburgh, Philly, and...
Well, Pittsburgh is not this area. If you're going to go to Pittsburgh, you might as well go to Ohio. You're right down the border.
You think I should?
Yeah. Canton.
Well, you know, a lot of
Canton,
lives in Pittsburgh.
Go to Canton, Ohio.
So
go
her
to Cleveland.
And I will do a show together.
Cincinnati.
That's a lot of
places.
We're getting crazy now. Yeah. I was thinking about doing just a small.
Can't somebody book you at places and you get and
I can book myself at places.
Well, why don't you do it?
Plus,
well,
I
because,
know comedians.
You know, you should book yourself all the way to L.A. so that when you get to L.A., yeah, just book yourself all the way to L.A. Why don't you work your way across the country?
Oh, when I'm
it's a great idea instead of getting a big car and then getting in a car and going, I can't fit this. Why don't you work your way across? That's a great idea. You do a little documentary, pictures and stuff along the way. Yeah, I mean, go to Guffaw's. Go to the Chuckle Factory. Go to Laugh Your Ass Off.
Chuckle it. So you're
it's
saying
an idea.
In a couple months when I go to move to California.
Yes, sir.
You're saying on my way there, on my road trip across the country to my what will soon be my permanent residence in California, I should do a tour.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea. You book yourself across the country, and then you tape, you get tons. You only want to do a half hour. You're going to only take the best of it, right?
Yeah.
You'll have tons of stuff. You'll have different venues. You'll have the same material that works in one place and doesn't work in another place. That would be great. And it would especially be great if you went along the way and you brought, look. That's a good idea. I don't even go alone. I mean, you can go alone, but, you know, you might not. Well, you're not going alone.
Well, I'm not going alone.
Why don't you hook that guy up with – what does he do?
Eddie?
Yeah, what does Eddie do?
He works at a bank.
Okay, and so he just wants to live in California?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you just say, Eddie, you're now my spokesman, or you're my publicity guy. You're this. Or now you're my accountant or publicity accountant. You're working in a bank.
He could be an accountant because he works in a bank.
Yeah, you deal with all the money and the stuff that goes along there, and we work our way across there. Not only will you actually pay for gas and stuff like that, but you'll have all the material for this. You finally get to L.A., and bam.
It's $10 richer.
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, you said you're not doing nothing. You're putting it all together. Now you're in L.A. and there's the comedy club and the comedy store and the comedy gallery and there's the comedy supermarket and by now there must be the comedy drugstore, there must be a comedy room in Home Depot in L.A. or something. There must be. So you could, and then you could bring in. You'll make that stuff, and now you'll be going around and you'll be giving people. You'll have the product. You do it. You put it together when you get there. Of course, you'll be waiting. You'll be a waiter for 10 hours a day. But in the end, the rest of the time, you get all the stuff together. You put the package together. Then you start booking yourself at all these other places. And you start going to the open mics. Go to the closed mics. Show up. Just do crazy stuff. Get in there. Go and give away those things. Sell some that you can and give them away. And say, I'm Jeremy Long. I'm the new thing. You know, there's this guy, and I hate him. I'll tell you this right now. He's a conservative talk show host in New York. Mark Levin is his name. And he's this, he's, he, I don't know if Mark Levin is old enough to remember guys like Joe Pine and Alan Burke and these right-wing guys who had been around for like years, who really broke the mold for all this right-wing stuff on television and radio. But this guy, Mark Levin, you know what he does? He calls himself the Great One. Okay, and he's really aggressive, and he's like the most abrasive thing you want to put in your ears. Okay, and he's just pissed at everything that's done that isn't conservative and doesn't say have constitution written all over. You know these guys, but here's the deal with him. But the thing is, he's smart. He called himself the Great One. Nobody ever said you're the Great One. He gave himself the title. It's exactly what happened here when I'm the Bard of Broadcasting, and I gave myself that title because I'm not intellectually impaired. I'm unmitigatedly intellectual. And so for that, I said, I'm a bard. I speak differently, and what I say is a certain poetry. I gave that to myself. Now, and then what happens? People start calling you that. Now, this Levin guy, he calls himself the Great One, and suddenly, because he became popular, what do you think everybody calls him?
The Great One.
Absolutely. He built it in. It's like, you know, the world's greatest rock and roll band. What do you think? Some guy from Rolling Stone called that, wrote that and about the Rolling Stones? No, the Rolling Stones publicity department came up with it. Even better. What about the King of All Media? Who is that? Who calls himself the King of All Media?
Oh.
You don't know. I forgot his name. Howard Stern.
Oh, does he call himself that?
Yeah, and he gave himself the title. You can do this. There's no law against it. Jeremy Long. Hey, I'm the next big thing. You know, you give yourself a thing. I'm the next big thing.
Yeah.
And you get out there and you annoy everyone until finally they go, all right, I don't
know. You know I'm good at that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Capital
A. I got on this show.
Capital A, capital N, capital N, capital N. Yeah, but then they're not all going to be as kind as I am to you, even though I tell you when to stay the hell out and when to come the hell in. That's different.
No, they'll be... You're not kind.
But I'm saying you got to... me? I'm not.
I'm just joking.
Me, my name is Rangatolo. The man's name is Orange the Title Show. We haven't even started to talk about what we're talking about. But it all has a lot to do with everything we talk about. It always comes around and back to the topic, because our topics are all topics that... Is this only... Oh, this is two pages.
Have you ever played that game, Topics?
No, what is it?
It's like a party game.
Wow. You know, it's funny that talk about party games. The people still do things like that because of in the gaming industry. And now you can rent games, right? And you can send them back now like on a Netflix situation.
Yeah.
But also what is the biggest thing right now is streaming games, playing with online, mm-hmm, with people from everywhere. So it's like you're chatting. You have like a combination chat.
Yeah,
headset. Yeah. And you sit there. And a lot of people get very into these things. Now, the thing I found strange, I didn't know this. I didn't know how popular this was becoming. I didn't know it was so prevalent. But I also didn't realize that it was, that the graphics have just gone berserk in terms of realistic.
Oh, yeah.
There's no longer any. I mean, you know, if you're playing the Simpsons racing game or Pokemon things, you know, you're in a weird world and the characters are weird and things are weird. Or that other thing with Mario, you know, the Italian plumber who goes, you know, and all those stupid characters, Kong, Conky Dong, Donkey Kong, Mario and his brother, you know, yeah. We have a golfing game with the kids. I love. We had fun playing golf with the Mario characters and with the kids. Yeah, the game. But now these things they have are, there's no. They just keep getting more and more accurate in terms of human composition and scenery and certainly weapons.
Yeah.
And I have as much fun as the next guy. Ever sitting out every once in a while and just going to this. Killing these ridiculous things and ghosts and stuff and zombies and everything. You know, that's fun. Make noises. But what's going on here is extremely, extremely disturbing.
Which part?
Well, here's the part. I ran into an article and I forgot the guy's name. Oh, I could actually put it up here. Well, I do want to play something.
I'll play it.
I'm going to play something, a piece of this game, but I want to first explain what's going on, because you can't see the visuals, but you can go. The name of the game, okay, I ran into this article that says, are these on streaming games? These streaming games, the most popular ones, are they making psychopaths out of us? Are they touching something in us that's making us awakening these very black side
targets? This isn't anything new, though.
This is new. I want to tell you what's new about this. I'm not talking about, and I'm not going to get onto this, I'm not going to talk about the campaign of violent games. I'm not talking about that. Because what I saw it's not that violent, but the way the violence is directed, the way it's calculated, and what it means, and how much you can enjoy it, is disconcerting, because now it's incredibly real, and it doesn't seem like it just doesn't seem any consequence. You don't even feel things. It's lacking feeling. And it's real. It's so real. And I'm going to play something just to give you an idea of how the guys who are playing talk as they literally murder. We're not talking anymore about violent games. Like, it's a war, so obviously there's violence. I'm on this side of the war, and I'm going to go kill the Nazis. Good guys, bad guys. I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm talking about murder for fun. I'm talking about this. It's unbelievable. I can't. Here's a name. And, you know, I thought, everybody thought, like, well, you know, the whole the zombie thing. I didn't think that could go beyond the zombie thing. But you got zombie apocalypse. You got the World War Z. You know, all this stuff. I did not think that you could get, that they could do anything beyond that. You know, and I did a zombie show. A show about zombies, the history of zombies, how they brought them up to this and to this particular area, why they're so exciting now. And then we talked about how the show like The Walking Dead has no ending. And then you don't know where it's going unless they kill all the zombies or do finish them off. Or, you know, it doesn't have a sense of past or anything. It's weird. But they're zombies and not even aliens. They're not, you know, good guy, bad guy. Bad guy loses. Always, you know, what have you. And this goes back as far as ancient religious literature, which is so absurd about God and devil stuff, which is like, well, if it's written that the devil will lose when Armageddon comes, then who cares? He's going to lose. Why would he even fight it? How stupid is this guy? He knows he's going to lose. Okay, but now here's what they've done. Listen to this. Three men stand on a deserted street. Mm-hmm. Their hands in the air. Mm-hmm. One wears a green t-shirt and a motorcycle helmet. Uh-huh. The others wear bright yellow down jackets. They are surrounded by four armed men. Uh-huh. Gentlemen, a man called Klyka. Klyka is the character's name. We are going to play a very interesting game, he says. And Klyka is a character you could be when you're playing this game with other people. He commands the hostages, these guys, to drop their axes. They're carrying axes. And then he continues. He says, mm-hmm. This is Day Z. Someone always has to die when players meet. But we're going to make this interesting. Now, I'm going to play this at the same time that we talk about it here. Hold on. And this is a game, as I said, this is a game that people stream. Hang on, my bookmarks. You know, you can't use the darn thing anymore.
The what then?
Here's the... Oh, where did it go? Oh, it's right here. You can't use the damn Explorer anymore. Did you hear about that? I mean, did they fix that? I haven't heard anything about them fixing that.
Nope.
No. So Explorer's dead. That's it, Dubai. I think people bought this. You bought your stock in it. That's it. Microsoft's all over. Okay. Now I want to play for you.
Having problems too.
This thing and then this. Oh, here's the article.
So what game is it?
It's called DayZ. I don't want an ad, mister. This, oh man, what has that? Why Online Games Make Players Act Like Psychopaths is the name of the article, and it's by Ryan Rigney. And this is what I'm reading from this article, but what I want to do is, here you go. I am now going to play you.
Oh, wait.
What? Oh, yeah. Just put that up there for a second. Put the microphone up there. Thank you for doing that. That's a very good production note that we only have two microphones. So Jeremy's putting it up there. What I'm going to play for you is about 4 minutes of this game online and the guys playing. And I want you to listen to their tone. I want you to listen to how they play the game. And remember what I just told you. It's just a setup. DayZ. And I'll tell you about the game and what goes on and what the game's all about.
Never heard of it.
Okay. Well, this is, I may add, the most popular streaming game now. People across the world are playing this. Listen to this, and here we go.
Freeze, yo!
All right, boys. Hands in the air. Stick up.
Gentlemen, what a fine day you've chosen. To get graced by this amazing band of madmen.
It's three of them.
Gentlemen, we are going to play a very interesting game, for we have two people with yellow jackets and one person with a green jacket. I would ask you guys to put your fire axes or your axe on the ground. Put it on the ground. Just put him on the ground. Don't worry, no one's going to steal him from you. You're going to get him back.
Okay, now what is this? I'm going to interrupt here for a second. What is this called again? Where all you see is the gun because you're
first person shooter.
This is a first person shooter deal. So what you're seeing is what we're seeing that you're not seeing is not just incredibly realistic, but we're looking at it from the perspective of the people who just said, "Look what we've got: two guys with jackets. Here we go."
And that yellow jacket's snazzy.
Okay, great. Okay, now, great. You with the gun holster, come over here, please. Over where I'm standing. Come over here. Where I'm standing. Okay, now sit down with Efreet. Sit down with Efreet.
The other one hasn't dropped their axe, by the way.
No, he has. Okay, now you, please come over here. Please come over here.
Over here. You're making fight, aren't you?
Yeah, you, over here. Over here. Okay, and sit down with F3 and look at the axes.
You're going to make him fight, aren't you?
Now, gentlemen, the sad thing is that as much as we are nice people, but this is DayZ, so someone always has to die when players meet. But we're going to make this interesting. So the two jacket people, there can only be one yellow jacket in this group. I mean, obviously. So what I will do is I will shoot in the air, and when I shoot in the air, you guys will run for your axes, and you will try to grab them, and you can't take your coat off, that's cheating. And you will run for your axes, and the one who lives at the end of the fight shall be the yellow jacket man. So put your yellow jacket back on, please.
Honestly, making them fight.
Because you can't see it. Let me just tell you what's happening. There are two guys with yellow jackets. He said this is DayZ, so someone has to die. So it's predicated right there. Someone has to die. And the two, what's it called again? Point of what?
First person shooter.
Guy is standing here. And he's saying, look, this is the game. There's two guys. One guy has to be wearing a... So they put their axes down because they didn't have guns. They had axes. And they make them fight to the death with the axes. And the one who lives can wear the yellow jacket. That's the prize. He can live and wear the other. But watch what... Well, you can watch. Listen to what happens now. He told them to get ready for the fight.
No, it's on the ground. You put it on the ground. Okay, there we go. Okay, you guys ready? You guys ready? This green person over here is going to cheer for you. This depends who will get to team up with green person. Okay, it starts when I shoot in the air. So 3, 2, 1.
Fight!
Oh, this is going to be fantastic.
Oh, they're running!
Oh, sorry. Running means you get shot. I'm sorry.
We have a winner by default. Oh,
okay, did you just see what happened? Mm-hmm. One of the guys in the yellow jacket, let's watch this and listen to it again. One of the guys in the yellow jacket, when they were supposed to fight, okay, decides to run away and not fight. Listen to what happens. And listen to the players. Listen to how they handle this cold-blooded
green person. Okay, it starts when I shoot in the air. Three, two, one.
Fight!
Oh, this is going to be fantastic.
Oh, they're running!
Oh, sorry. Running means you get shot. Running means you get shot. I'm sorry.
We have a winner by default.
Oh, we have a winner. Congratulations, sir. Congratulations, you are the official Yellow Jacket Man.
Sir, what is your name? You get a prize.
Why did I not record this? This is terrible.
Oh, the event is starting. What prize would you like, sir? You can have a choice of...
Can I drink?
a saline bag.
They're showing stuff.
A bag of rice.
This is like their inventory.
Yeah, this is their inventory.
You can have...
What's inside this box?
You can have a set of bandages. Why not?
Now, it's one thing when we talk about... Okay, I think it goes on a little bit more. I don't think... just listen to them, how much fun they're having.
The bag of rice. Okay. The bag of rice. Good for you, sir.
Good choice.
Congratulations, sir. Everyone, wiggle for this man. Wiggle for him, for he is the Yellow Jacket Man. He is the Yellow Jacket Man. Okay.
All right, okay.
Also, don't forget, as Yellow Jacket Man, you are allowed to have all the yellow jackets in the land, so be sure to loot that dead man's yellow jacket.
Okay, I don't know a lot of the stuff about this, who's Yellow Man, or what, why there's got to be Yellow Man, or what that meant. But we've suddenly taken, what they've done, they've suddenly taken this thing about shooting. Remember when you shoot zombies can come and kill you? When you're in a war victory, World War Men-at-Arms, or what have you, you can die. Right? And you're fighting something. This is a game, I'm going to tell you more about it, that, and you heard how these guys who were playing, real people, were playing this game. You heard how much fun they were having. And all it is slaughter. The guy refuses to fight. He runs away. They murder him. Murder him. And if you see it, when you see it, go look at it, shot in the back of the head. Oh, you're running away? You're not going to fight to the death? Well, then we just murder you. This is and listen to them laugh and have fun, having a whole bunch of fun. This is what it has come to. And you got to wonder why, I don't know, there's something Freudian, there's something going on inside of these people that makes them, I don't know, you think about that for a second. The name of the game is DayZ, Day, and then the big letter Z, because it's after the zombie apocalypse. This is now the climate of the world in this scenario. We will be back to tell you about this and more stuff. Might as well leave it up there anyway. That's a good idea. That's
hey up there.
Yeah, hey now. We'll come right back. My name is Frank Cotola. Man, his name is Don's the title of the show. Let's take this short break. Go get some drink and stuff or whatever and dispose of your bodily wastes and replenish your precious bodily fluids by getting some beverage. We will be right back. More about this. I'm telling you, it's disturbing. Put the kids to bed. Don't take them out of the room.
The Toll of Kamar Constance, the internet talk show from the Neo Postmodern World.
She didn't just visit the sick and poor. She moved in with them. It wasn't convenient, and it wasn't pretty, but they needed help. 12 more then joined this saint of the gutters. They were soon followed by over 4,000 other nuns who gave healing care in orphanages, AIDS hospices, and charity centers. Mother Teresa couldn't do it all, but she gave her all. Compassion. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Ray and Garnet, Garnet and Ray have a harness racing show. Check them out on SRN1, Fridays from 9.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky Escapades. Parallel Universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves the tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
If you've ever spotted a barred owl, a Blanding's turtle, or a dragon's mouth orchid, then you're one of the lucky few, because the opportunities to spot these marvels are getting fewer. The more we build, the more nature is disappearing. But you can help. Visit OntarioNature.org. The pulse of Ontario isn't in its wildlife, woodlands, and wetlands. It's in the hearts of the people who protect them. Show you care, for lots of little reasons.
I'm a part of your region, she's a part of me. We're a team together, just you, the world, and me. Breaking the news now, within the news now. Plus time to relax, within all of the facts. Stand up and tell them you're from York.
Juiced Talk Radio, it's juicy. JuiceTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the Artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
There's nothing un-American about Molotov Memoirs by Frank Cotolo, illustrated by T. Stephen Gessick. Why, this is Americana at its best. Literature, drama, conflict. It's everything I remember and things I think I remember through a storied life of history in show business, politics, and celebrated people's lives. It's me, Frank Cotolo, inviting you to buy Molotov Memoirs. Go to blurb.com and put in my name, Frank Cotolo, and get Molotov Memoirs. Buy a copy for your friends, buy a copy for your lovers and your haters, everybody. And all this is America.
Well, what does that have to do with anything?
America.
It's an international story. The stories take place around the world, those stories. It's not just, this is America. Jeremy will get his mic back. Yes, we're back here. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name is joins the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and Cotolo is chronicling. I'm dealing, what? What is?
That was easy.
And I'm dealing with, we're dealing with this incredible, popular, I guess in general what we're dealing with is the streaming online games that are ruthless and hideous, heinous. They're heinous. They just they don't involve themselves in fighting now. You're not fighting for protection. It's not violence for protection. It's not violence for cartoon fun violence. It's anything. It's out and out slaughter. And this is what is being. Now, I'm not saying they you know shouldn't do this. I'm just shocked at how many people are getting a great deal of fun out of. There's no challenge. You know, games. Even when they're when I was a kid and we played whatever good guy bad guy stuff and you know with the, out in the streets with swords that we made out of orange crates and shields out of orange crate things and whatever we did. There was one, people were fighting one another. You know, we didn't set up these situations where we would just like slaughter people. That would be like having a, I mean, imagine who among us, and then they come up with a game. Imagine they come up with a game called,
ooh.
Imagine they come up with a game and make it very realistic and call it Hours at Auschwitz. And you get to play the German guys who lead the people into the ovens and kill. I mean, and then you and that's the level of this monstrosity game called DayZ.
It's like that movie, The Purge. Did you see that movie?
No. What is that about? What is that about?
It's all about this. It exists. The movie takes place in a world like our world, but it's gotten to the point where. They dedicated one day, which they call the Purge, where all the legal systems take off, so there's no protection and murder and kidnapping.
So one day of anarchy is allowed in the
world.
Okay.
That's what the sequel's called, The Purge 2 Anarchy.
Okay. Well, then I don't have to see it because I understand the whole deal. I understand it. I even guessed the sequel.
Yeah, so screw them.
But that's a movie, again, that's not interactive. That's watching something.
Sure.
That's being a witness. That's passive entertainment. This is not passive entertainment. This is interaction with people you don't even know, and you get together on the internet, and you connect with these people so that you can murder. And do, you know, like, that's the entertainment value. Now let's go back and read this here from DayZ.
Okay.
And this repeats in the article, it tells you exactly what we had seen before the little break. We hope you saw it, you heard it. And if you go to DayZ, DAY, capital Z, on YouTube, you'll be able to see some of these heartless, weird, I don't even know what to call them. I can't describe these scenes from this. And did you hear the guy when he said, why didn't I record this? This is so much fun watching these people cower and just, you know, this is DayZ and someone has to die. I mean, what a weird, wow, that's weird. Okay, so they tell you what happened. He directs the men in to sit cross-legged 20 yards from each other, axes midway between them. There can be only one yellow jacket in the group, says, and this a character's name is, Klyka.
Mm-hmm.
The two men consider what he says. Klyka goes on, when I shoot in the air, you guys run for the axes and you'll try to grab them. The last man standing will be released. So you guys try to kill one another and who's ever left over lives. Who wins? You know, it's a battle to the death. And then, of course, you saw what really happened. One of the guys didn't want to do it. One of the guys didn't want to do it and he ran away. And so the guys with the guns, who were the players, said, oh, he ran away. That's it. Hey, that means we got to shoot you and kill you. And as he's running away, they shoot him in the back. I mean, everything about this isn't even dramatic. It's sick. This is sicker than any. This is sick. I would have a problem virtually doing that. I mean, it touches something in me. It's like the guy's running away and I have to shoot him in the back of the head. And I'd be saying to myself, hey, you know, I'm not like Mr. Morrill. I'm not a priest. I'm not a guy. I don't project any good in this world, but I don't want to shoot that guy in the back of the head, even if he's fake. That's weird. I don't know what does that touch in you. Here it is. DayZ is an online PC game set in the aftermath of the zombie apocalypse. Surviving... Well, I lost some of the print on this. Okay. But at least the zombies are predictable. Well, oh, yeah, that's it. Surviving the showdown. What?
You have the article on the computer.
Oh, God, you're right. You see, once in a while, Jeremy, there are great reasons to have a side guy.
I am the co-host, and that is my name.
This is DayZ, right? DayZ, all right. Surviving the undead hordes when it was a zombie apocalypse is difficult, okay? But at least the zombies are predictable. Think about this. The bigger threat comes from your fellow players. Who are just as likely to help you as kill you. Dying in DayZ isn't like dying in other video games. And I haven't read this, by the way. I'm just telling you what I saw and from what I was thinking about as a theme for the show. Now here's what Risky Rascal, or whatever his name is. I wrote it. Ryan Risky.
Ricky
Rascal. It said, okay, dying in DayZ is not like other dying in other video games. The game is developed by Bohemia Interactive, and it has, quote, configured death with an extreme level of consequentiality not found in other online first-person shooters. There you go. That's what I meant first.
First-person shooters.
Think about an extreme level of consequentiality not found. That's what I'm talking about. It's like, what's the consequence? If you're in that day of war, or you know those war games, the World War II games they have, you know, or they have the one that you're James Bond and you're killing someone, you have the chance to die. You know, it's like hunting. It's like if you're going out and you're hunting deer, a lot of people say, well, that's just horrible because you're just murdering the deer, which is true. Because the deer is not going to run after you and try to kill you. You want to really be a hunter, do what Hemingway did. Go out and face a rhino, you know, as he's charging. You know, this is like, whoa, that's going to take some balls, you know, because this thing going to hit you.
Balls.
He's going to get balls. It's going to come after you. So it's a kill or be killed. But this is not kill or be killed. This is slaughter. Okay. And that's what they call, what the company calls, extreme level of consequentiality not found in other online first-person shooters. Researchers at the University of Melbourne wrote last year, and I quote, unlike other first-person shooter games in which death is a minor 2 to 10 second setback before rematerialization, mm-hmm. which is what happens lots of times when you know, if you get killed, you come right back. Yeah. Someone gets killed, they come back. Okay, unlike that, death in DayZ involves the permanent death of this character and loss of all items and advancement. So
that's why it's a big deal.
It's also a big deal because if you die, the game is done. You're done. You're
that's
over.
That's why I was wondering when we were watching that video why they were even listening to him. Because in most games, you wouldn't even... If people came over and told you, hey, put your hands up, put your axes down, blah, blah, blah. You wouldn't even pay, you know, because you'd either shoot back or you'd run away, or and if you died, you'd be regenerated or whatever. But, so I was wondering why they were even, like, following their rules.
In other words, the article continues, death is about as real as it can be in the digital realm. You die, and it's literally game over. This, say the authors of the game, has the effect of, you ready for this? Quote, intensifying social interactions, raising a player's perceived level of investment and invoking moral dilemmas, unquote. It's a little highfalutin for what just happened. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah. More than that, though, it raises an interesting question about how and why we behave as we do in a game like DayZ. And what does that say about us? Okay, we're going to, all of us, this is what it sounds like in the studio when we caress the mics.
Oh, is that? You could hear that?
Out there going, what is happening? Is that my computer? Is that my phone? They're shaking their phones. Is that my phone? What is that? No, it was us. I'm sorry. We were moving. We were so disturbed about this. So this guy here, Kike, if you're Kleika.
Kleika.
Kleika doesn't appear the slightest bit morally distraught. And that's what I said. And you heard him. Oh, the guy's running away. That means you get shot. It's actually fun to do this. He's quite obviously having fun. Having laid out the rules for the deadly game, he begins counting 3, 2, 1. So even if he didn't shoot, I mean, they have rules beyond the thing. The rules of the game were pick up the axes and fight one another. And whoever wins, and it's fight to the death. It's not, you know, you don't get points.
Yeah.
Whoever wins gets to live and wear the yellow jacket, whatever that symbolizes, what have you.
I don't symbolize anything.
I don't have the whole game.
I don't think it's anything important. It was just them being jerks.
Okay.
And two people had a yellow jacket.
One yellow jacket guy, and then it explains what happened. Rushes. Well, let's see what the article says about that. One yellow jacket guy rushes towards his axe. The other turns and sprints down the road. That's what you heard.
Yeah.
One of Klyka's men, who had been filming the scene for YouTube,
So he
calmly lowers his camera, raises his rifle, and peers through the scope. He fires a single shot into the man's head, the back of the man's head. Klyka and his crew laugh. Yeah, well, stupid guy ran away. Instead of trying to live, stupid guys are... So, Klyka, whoever's playing Klyka, and the guy who was filming it, taping it, whatever you want to call, say... This is their idea of fun. They're not out in a past. They're not watching X-Men, the return of the God Thor, Monster Man, and they're not there watching Godzilla turn into. There's not passive. It's not passive. They're interactive. They're creating this game. They're creating this movie. They're taping it so they could see it again and record it, watch it again, play it again. If this were real, you'd think these people were psychopaths, period. That's all you would say. There's no way, if you watch a movie that has these kind of people as characters, what do you say? Well, these guys, you sit there and you go, these guys are psychopaths. You don't sit there and go, Ian, why didn't I think of that? I could have done that. Why can't I do that? Or, you know, inside of you. You do this stuff because you're safe. And here's the deal, too. A lot of people, especially people who are attracted to playing these kind of games, are people who have not dealt in the actual world to the levels of intensity that they deal in these. I don't mean to sound like a psychiatrist here, or a psychologist or anything, or a cultural. I'm just like a writer talking here.
I'm a doctor, and I play one on TV.
And I'm a father, and I do play one in real life, so I know. So these kids, like my kid, I didn't ask my kid, you know, if he's laughing at something, I'll tell him. I said, do you ever have a gun pointed at you? What do you think you would feel like? I've had a gun pointed at me. I understand what that feels like. I'm in that situation. I could laugh at it when I'm away from it. I could laugh, you know, whatever the case may be. But I don't get any particular thrill about going back and thinking about that moment or saying, at that moment, I'm not thinking, well, this is like cool, man. This is cool because if I run away, if I move, you're going to shoot me and I'm dead and then I never have kids and I don't hold me and I don't do it and I don't pee pee anymore and I don't have chocolate cake and you know what? I don't, it doesn't, it's not, that don't work. So the kid, so I have the experience. So I have a certain connection and my mind has a certain connection. My brain and my emotions get together when they see the guy shoot. That kid who ran away in the back of the head, wow, that's like, you know they have, you know this post-traumatic stress thing that people have, which they used to call army fatigue. They used to call it battle fatigue.
Really?
Yeah, in the old days, they didn't know how to deal with. Didn't have a name for this battle fatigue, and I think that was it, battle fatigue. They didn't have
seems
any.
Seems a lot less strong of
a... And I knew a guy who was involved. He was in the military. He was involved in the mission that failed, the military mission that failed to get the... Okay, people, just relax a second. Is that your heart?
You can hear it again?
Yeah. Maybe holding it. Okay.
Screw it. Screw it all.
Yeah, well, does that sound like... And when you're doing the Weebly Jeremy podcast, is it like this? Is it like, hi, I'm Jeremy.
Hey, I would know if I was doing it or not if I had headphones.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Okay. I'll have a moment's silence now for the absence of Jeremy at the rest of the show. I knew a guy who was involved, and I don't even know if you know this happened, because I don't know what they teach you in college or school anymore.
No, I know.
There was a failure, a military mission to get the hostages in Iran back in the 1979, 1980, when there was a military mission, secret military, obviously secret, to get them out. Just the way they had the one that didn't fail, that killed bin Laden. They had one. And it failed tremendously. There was a crash and a thing and all sorts of stuff. And I knew this guy who was in one of the crew. He was one of the guys. Okay, you know, he was trained to do this. I was in the military. And he'd also been in other situations that are considered violent, military, you know, war, battle situations, let's say. What do they call them? I don't know what they call them anymore. Okay, so they were in battle. Well, this guy had post-traumatic disorder, and was they would actually take him away every once in a while. And this is, now we're talking about late 80s, early 90s, when it was just starting to, I mean, the guys from back from Vietnam, they were starting to see this, what is going on with these guys? Why do they, he was so used to being on edge while in places in wars, in Vietnam, and this thing, this particular military operation, that one day he was, and this is only one of the incidents, and he would tell me about these. He was sitting in a restaurant people came from the front. Well, one waiter came from behind to deliver something to the place. And the waiter coming from behind triggered something in him, because, okay? And he picked up a fork from his table, turned around, stabbed the guy. And before they could get him out of his, I mean, you're just blinded by, you know, what's going on. Because why? Because on the field, in the theater, that's it, they call it the theater, in the war theater, you know, you turn around and this guy here, and he's shot. You know, you could be shot and not know what's going on. This is not like, you know, like TV Cowboys and Indians Day. It's not even like TV War, or John Wayne movies, or John Payne movies. You know, there was a guy named John Payne, and there was a guy named John Wayne. Did you know the actors Payne and Wayne?
Yeah.
They're never on the same. Yeah, okay. And it was only like Audie Murphy, you know, even in his movies was stupid, even though he's a great war hero. But anyway, it's not like that. And this is what I always said about, and I knew this about me, because I said, like, you know, geez, I don't want to go in the army, because I'll just, I mean, I knew that I'm pre-traumatic, post-traumatic, what is it called?
Post-traumatic stress.
I have pre-traumatic stress syndrome. So if you're going to put me out there and I got a gun, and I've seen some of these movies. Has anyone seen Born on the 4th of July? The story of Cracknick, or whatever his name is, Joel Cracknick, or the kid, that guy?
Yes.
Okay. That's friendly fire. He winds up killing somebody. And I'm thinking to myself, and this is a guy who went out gung-ho. This kid went out. He wanted to be in the war. He thought it was right and everything. And everything changed. His name's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, I'm thinking, when I watched this movie, I went, well, this guy is, I would have killed by that time. By the time in that movie that someone runs over the hill and he shoots him, and then he doesn't realize it's his own guy, right?
Yeah.
I would have killed half my own platoon and about half of the other army. I would have killed corporals, generals. I would have just shot at anything. This is pre-traumatic stress. Give me a gun, put me in a war, and I'm just shooting. Do we have time to sit and think? This is how I knew. There's no way. I'm no use. You can't explain that to the draft people. I did. You have to find another way. Okay. But it's like, I mean, I knew that about me, and I don't understand how these guys never, how everybody doesn't kill one another. I don't understand how it happens, especially in that kind of war, where it was, we don't know, there's the people living there, or they, it was a different kind of war, you know. Look, you wear, it's like, you know, in wars, they used to actually get together and go, we can't wear red uniforms. Those guys have red uniforms. We won't know who's killing one another. Why don't we wear a blue uniform? And they would actually go in the Civil War, the American Civil War, when they knew they were going to war, they're going to have armies, they said, well, we'll wear gray, the South said, because they're wearing blue. We can't wear blue, even though blue's the normal color. We can't even wear black because it's too much like blue. We gotta wear gray. We can't wear maroon because it's too much like the gray. And the light at night, we'll shoot each other. They literally wore the uniform so that they knew who they could kill. And even that is nonsense, right? I mean, that's like crazy too. All right. So here, the bad mail's coming in already, right? Shut up. Hi, Kelly, I was in the war. I know. Look, I'm not talking about. I'm just talking about the people who play these games who've had no experience with the theater of danger. The theater of danger in battle, the theater of danger in battle on the street, with the violence and anything that goes on. You know, what do you do? Look at those, what we did a show years ago about Columbine, and how we couldn't understand how these kids just cowered. And I related it to where I went to school. And I talked about this 100,000 times, that if that had happened in my school in Brooklyn, New York, those guys might have had the time to wound one person when they walked in, because nobody would have sat down. Even the girls, they would have, like, they see guys coming in with guns, you just run, you just jump them, you throw things at them, you hit them, you get desks. I mean, just like it is built into it. You get a certain, this is how you get street sense. Okay, I wasn't, when I started going into the city per se. I left my home, my family, I was no... When I left my home and I would go out, take a subway and go out to Manhattan, or go out to this, yeah. I was taught to do things, because you're around, it's danger everywhere. You're taught to do things. I learned how to kill someone with a magazine, a Time magazine, a Newsweek magazine. I learned these things because I knew there might be a chance I had to protect myself. So he was on guard. So the post-traumatic thing, and me, is pre-traumatic. I'm just trying to make that point. If I sit down and I play this stupid game with cartoon zombies and I kill them and I shoot at things that could shoot back at me, and they do shoot back at me, and then I die and I come up again, I'm well aware that the joy in this is just kind of the shooting. It's not, there's nowhere near does it touch any of those things that in me that has to do with the actual theater of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Do you play, what games do you play?
Very few.
You know, you're not a gamer.
But I do like to play Nazi Zombies, which is on Call of Duty.
Okay, that's the game I was trying to think about.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
I mean, that one's fun.
But do you see how different? Do you see what's going on here? Okay, let's go on here now. If we ended with this, if this were real, you would think they were psychopaths. Now, nobody who's playing the games that I'm talking about, the kind of cartoon games. Time Splitters is one I've played. I really like
Time
that
Splitters.
Game.
Time Splitters, that's so...
Yeah. I know, and it's just, you know you're in this crazy world. The people, and the other thing about it is, as real as it looks, as realistic as it looks nothing like it does these days. Now, you know, it's incredible. This is the difference between... It's like when I saw Spielberg's War of the Worlds, and that was...
Tom.
Yeah, with Tom Cruise. That was the... moment I said to myself, I even said it to others, I used to say it to myself, CGI gets no better than this. What else can you do? This is as realistic as it can get. Because we're not talking about the creatures and weird things and spaceships. We're talking about a church that falls down, a highway that goes down. Did you see 2012?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Man, it doesn't get any more realistic. That's it. We're there. We can now do all that stuff and make it look, and that makes it more frightening. In a way, it makes it more exciting, because if you're watching it as a movie, but not if you're the person.
Yeah.
Because then you're, if you're interactive, and this is what's interactive here, okay? If this were real, you'd think the people doing it were psychopaths. And what about DayZ and games like it? Makes them behave as if they are psychopaths. What about this? This is the question he brings up. In layman's terms, let's talk about a psychopath. A psychopath is someone without a conscience. This is according to Dr. Adam Perkins, who is not available for comment or to be on the show. But he was available to talk to this guy who wrote the article. Ricky Rickstone or Rick Shaw. Dr. Adam Perkins is an expert in personality disorders, and he lectures at King's College in London. Such people have little to no capacity for empathy and can do the kinds of things you could do, but you'd be bothered by guilt if you did so. So you see, if you're watching this and you say, you want to play DayZ with me? I got a problem with DayZ. I do, because, you know, I keep hearing DayZ. I keep hearing Hal the computer. DayZ, DayZ, give me. You remember Hal the computer when he was dying? That's the song he was singing.
Oh, yeah?
DayZ, DayZ.
From 2001.
Give me your, which is an old song. Not DayZ. This is DayZ. Okay.
If it was called DayZ, it would be a lot more lighthearted, I'm sure.
It'd be a porn. You know, porn, there's no, I have not seen. Let me tell you this also.
Why would it be automatically porn if it
no,
was
no,
called
let
DayZ?
Me tell you this, and let me tell you this. What would be automatically porn?
I said if it was called DayZ.
Because it's a girl and, you know, it's a good.
It's a good porn girl name?
Yeah, it's a good porn now. You know, sweet little girl who turns bad. But let me tell you something. I have watched and I have seen, because I have gone on journeys in life to find things the most in film and in lots of times and in real life, though not really that much in real life because it gets, you can't do it. But I've gone through lengths and I've seen things that I never thought I would see and that were real. And I've watched porn and styles.
We totally changed topic.
No, it's not. No, I'm talking about all this stuff that people consider horrible to watch because it affects you, because it brings out this terrible thing in you. Okay, but I have never seen anything that touched the part of me that this DayZ thing did when the guy went, "Oh, he's running." Well, it means we murder him. That it's like watching. Have you ever seen or read? I'm asking you, I'm asking everybody out there. Have you read the Truman Capote book or seen the movie of the
movie
Truman
Capote? With
Truman
Philip,
Capote?
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
He played, yeah. And in the movie that
that's
he
what
played.
I'm asking.
Yeah, but in the movie, but did you, no.
I saw the movie, yeah.
No, that's not what I'm asking.
You asked if I read you the book
didn't,
or saw the
no,
movie.
No. Did you ever read the book or see the movie by Truman Capote called In Cold Blood?
No.
Okay. So the answer is no. No, he's not. A lot of people are probably saying the same thing as you're saying. No, in the movie that Philip Seymour Hoffman played Truman Capote, there's a lot about it. There's a lot about it, about him writing that book in the movie. The book is about something that really happened, about a couple of guys who killed... The people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's radio silence.
Yeah, that's weird.
Should I let him?
Huh?
I
guess so. What would you do? Why would you do that?
Keep going.
I don't know where I was going. Oh, In Cold Blood. You know, it's tough to read the book. It's even tougher to watch the movie. Robert Blake is in the movie. He plays one of the guys. And to watch this movie, which is about... I mean, you don't get a better title than that. In Cold Blood. That's what just happened with this. This particular game. Okay? So let's look more about here with the... Now I've run out of psychopathic stuff we're talking about. Okay, here. Where were we now? With Adam Perkins. Adam Perkins is not the guy, has nothing to do with the stream of things, places, restaurants. Okay.
He's all befuddled.
I don't know. Things are happening, huh?
He's all befuddled.
Things are happening around me. Okay, here. So Adam Perkins says here, stuff you would feel guilty of. Say, for instance, you're shopping, and you see a woman leave her purse on the counter of a place, right? You could easily take it. You could easily take the purse without getting caught. If you're a member of the 1% of the population that this guy Perkins talks about, says are psychopathic, you could take it and just walk away. And then you don't think about, you just might, I know, why don't you look at the print that's actually come through. Anyway, psychopaths, here's what he says, Perkins. I remember his name, I can't remember Ricky Rickshaw.
Ricky,
psychopaths will do things without any compunction, any internal guilt. It's a cognitive style that places little or no value on fair treatment of others. Okay?
Okay.
So, some people go through amazing lengths to, and we don't even have a camera to take a, maybe we should go on, Chataholic. What was it?
Chataholic.
No, what was the name of that?
Chat Roulette?
No. That's the crazy place. There was that thing that they wanted us to be on where you, I don't know, where they show your face. Okay, so here, psychopaths do things like without any compunction, and that's what we're witnessing with DayZ, and this is what kids are getting excited about playing. Because remember, I didn't just pick this thing up. It's not an isolated game. This is the most popular in the world online game. Now, this isn't to say psychopaths are, by definition, more violent than the rest of us. Violence wouldn't bother a psychopath. This is according to Perkins. But they might have another incentive to avoid violence, the consequences of getting caught. Most psychopaths are logical people and understand that action brings consequences. The threat of repercussions, say, for example, prison, might keep them from acting it out. I'm not going to go into the stuff about, I don't know what this has to do with serial killers, but might be a whole other thing, I don't know. But the idea of what they're saying, is that psychopaths think through.
They're illogical.
Yeah, but I was thinking of a word, and you couldn't help me with it, that word. Yeah. They have a calculated
plan. Agenda?
Well, they have... I don't know. I've lost that thought completely. They don't think like... They're not just wild, rampant, crazy people. Okay. Such decisive disincentives do not exist in virtual worlds. Okay, this is what they're saying, okay?
Because they won't get caught by the police.
That's right. This is now something totally different. This is like it's bringing out a part of you that, you know, you can get away with this. Isn't this fun? Hey, come on over this afternoon. I got Cheetles. I got a bag of Cheetles.
I got a big old bag of toasted Cheetles.
And then we could shoot at the kids and shoot them and kill them online. And no one's going to come and take it away.
And then we'll watch Punch Drunk Love.
And then we'll watch Punch Punk. Oh, man. That was a good callback, by the way.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay, so... Absent a sense of empathy, you're free to rob and kill at will. This is what happens in these games. What we do with this reveals something about us. John Ronson,
wrote
a book.
Name.
Yeah, John Ronson authored a book called The Psychopath Test. It says imagining ourselves doing something horrible is a way to see ourselves in a new light.
Smitty should take that test.
One of the ways, see, the people don't know what, the audience doesn't know what's going on in here. So if you, see, people, if you want to tell somebody where you're located, go to your Facebook and just say, I'm at.
We're at the controller.
I'm in Peanut Land.
That's a sign of a psychopath.
Frank Catolo is in Peanut Land, having fun. You know?
Frank Catolo should read the psychopathic test book.
One of the ways we keep ourselves moral is to imagine the terrible things we could do, but then don't do, says Ronson, as he writes a bad sentence.
So he suggests that we imagine?
Yeah. You stand on a train platform and think, and you do think, we all do this. I can push that person in front of the train. And let me tell you something, I had someone try to push me in front of an oncoming train. So I know that that guy didn't think about the repercussions because he failed, but he tried.
Yeah.
And luckily, see, I was street smart. See, if I was anyone else, I would just, he would have thrown me off if I wasn't street smart. And he didn't give it.
You cut him with a Time magazine?
No, I didn't cut him with a Time magazine. I didn't have a Time magazine. I have pre-stress, pre-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
I sensed immediately something's wrong with this guy. I didn't think that's what he was going to try to do.
Did he have a beef with you?
No, he was just a crazy guy on the flight. Probably went down to the, went under the subway. He goes, yeah, I'm going to do it. Hey, I think I'll go throw someone under the train, see what happens. See what that looks like.
Hey, I'm going to go down to the train station.
And here I was, just waiting for the train, eating a little bag of Cheetos.
One of those travel bag of Cheetos, right?
Yeah, the travel bag, right, the one they give you on the plane. When you go on the plane, Cheetos? Cheetos? Like a bag of Cheetos? Yeah, and a martini, please. Okay, so you know, you think about it, and it makes you a good person, because you don't say, you say to yourself, I'm not going to do that. Because it's, you know, first of all, you know, you, whatever you think, however you think about it, I don't want to take the person's life, the person might die, the person might die. Imagine a train's coming into a station, you're going to throw him in front of it. I think the mathematics of that should really hit you. He's going to die, okay?
Just as hard as a train.
This guy was, Ronson, as the author of this article was, as he was talking to Ronson, he said he looked out the window and he saw an enormous truck parking across two spaces. And he writes, I imagine myself using a tire iron to smash the windows, the taillights, and the headlights before scraping the Confederate flag sticker off of it. This is what he thinks as he's watching. I find myself agreeing with Ronson. Anytime I put myself in a situation, real or imaginary, this is what I'm talking about when I was sitting there watching, anytime, if it's beyond your moral limits, it allows me to clearly see where those limits lie.
I don't agree with that.
It's therapeutic and reassuring. We'll get to what you think in a second, because you're a member of this generation. Not that I think you would enjoy doing that, but okay. But we're still left with the big question. Are our actions in a virtual world tantamount to imagining those things we could do in real life but never would do? Or are we merely behaving as we would in real life if there were no consequences or actions?
The purge.
That's the question. What makes... Now, what would you like to say about this, Jeremy?
Wow.
Say.
Wow. Wow.
You want, don't do it in your in a character voice.
No Christopher Walken.
No, don't do Christopher
Walken. You know. Okay. So I agreed with it up until
that
part.
What part?
That part where that guy was like, it's healthy to imagine yourself doing terrible things and then realizing that you would do them because you're morally
incapable. Wait a second. He's saying that it's almost automatic you imagine these things. And in this day and age, we know, we've seen people follow through on things they imagine and do them. You know, these ridiculous gun slaughters and these things that go on in the schools and stuff. We see people using it and having no compunction. And they know they're going to die. There's no consequences to them because they don't want to live. They just want to take out a whole bunch of people with them, you know? And so, but when you're standing there, you know that you could toss somebody off a train, off onto the tracks. And the fact that you don't, you know you can do that. And sometimes you see it, you realize, because you're staying away from the tracks and you go like, you know, I don't want to get too close because I'll fall. And I could, if somebody else can fall, I can knock them over. But yeah, doing it, these things automatically come to our mind. That's what allows us to stay safe, because we know. Otherwise, what would we do? Otherwise, we'd go, I think I'll step in front of the train instead of get in it. You know, like, you know, I think I'll just step in it.
I'm just saying.
That third rail probably doesn't hurt.
Yeah, we're like bugs, stupid, like retarded Bugs Bunny walking around. Yeah. What's up, Doc? Any bullets in these cartridges? Let me see. I'll put it to my head. You know, you're playing Russian roulette and stuff. Go ahead. Now say. What don't you agree?
Because when you were reading it, you said that a quote from the guy said that it's important to purposely think about that kind of stuff.
He didn't say you purposely
think. Yeah, he said
that. Let me go back to this now. Because there might be people out there who are thinking the same way as you.
I just don't think... I mean, yeah, there's...
One of the ways we keep ourselves moral is to imagine the terrible things we could do, but then don't.
Right.
We imagine the
beauty. One of those things.
You never imagine something.
Read the first part.
One of the ways we keep ourselves moral is to imagine.
Yeah. See.
Yeah, well, yeah, but he's not. He's saying that we do it. We naturally do it. We do this part of our mechanism to keep. You don't. What?
I feel
what
like the way it's worded, he's saying that you're supposed to do that.
Yeah, okay, so in other words, here's the sentence
moral.
You heard. Here's the sentence Jeremy heard and others may have heard. Here's what Dr. Ronson said, according to Jeremy, interpreted by many people. Dr. Ronson says, you stupid idiot, don't you realize that you need to go out into the world and think about knocking people over, throwing them into the railroad tracks, slicing their throats. Don't you know you need to do that in order to stay, not to do it? You need to think about it. Next time you're on a train and the guy next to you is annoying, think about taking out a machete and just ripping from the ear to ear. And this guts come. He's not saying that.
That's what I heard.
When you watch, let's put it this way. When you watch movies and you see, and even television now, become pretty darn graphic.
Oh yeah.
And you see this, stuff when they show, the blood and things like that. Don't you wince? Whether you're doing it or not doing it, don't you wince? Don't you go ugh? And that you could almost imagine, like, I don't want to be the guy who's getting his throat cut, and I don't want to be the one who's cutting the throat because I don't know if I could cut someone's throat.
Yeah. It depends on how realistic it is.
I guess it depends. You don't get the general idea of it all. I mean, yeah. Okay, I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
I know I'm watching a movie.
And I know you wouldn't do that anyway, though. Well, right now, I think you'd like to take out a .45 and blow me away. Isn't that true? Do you want a .22 or a .44? How do they measure those things anyway? Don't try to hit me with it. Don't try to shoot me with that .22. I got a .44. Guy across the room. Oh, yeah? Hey, that just look at a 66. Oh yeah, I got an 88. Anyway, my name is Frank Catone, the man whose name is doing the title of the show, which is almost over now. We're up to the minute. This is amazing.
Oh my god,
how we've
word.
Done this.
If you go, I came here for this.
If you go to YouTube, that's what I say. You came here for this. Next time, do not advertise people on your T-shirts, all right? I want you to throw all your T-shirts out that advertise people.
I bought these for a reason.
You know, it's when you take on the role as mentor, you've got to, it's a tough role.
I want people to wear my T-shirt.
You see, it's tough, all right? See what he's saying? I want people to, why?
So why would
you
I
know
not
why
wear
he wants people
t-shirt?
To, why? Because I love to make people laugh. My name is
I'm
right
getting
there.
Out of here, aren't I?
Jeremy Wong, he'll be at the Grinning Ox this week, and then at the Salivary, the saliva. You know what I love? When I was in England, I used to love to go to these pubs because they named these pubs like incredible. Like the Bolus Ox, the pregnant moose. I kept asking people, hey, where do I find the pub? Where do I find Rocky the Flying Squirrel? They were like, no. They didn't laugh. In England, they didn't laugh with me. They laughed at me. And I know you have plenty of English people who still listen. I'm on Tyne FM and a number of other radio stations.
Ian Clay.
And Ian Clay, of course. So it's okay. You can laugh with me or without me and at me and to me. But be sure that I don't live to make people laugh. Okay.
That's my job.
That's Jeremy Long. We'll be back. We don't know what we're going to do next week yet as we begin June on Catolo Chronicles.
We do know that Jeremy, and don't email me or start emailing these stations, and go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and find out all the different stations. Two new ones now. Texas Talk Radio or Texas Time Radio and New Time Radio.
Oh.
Also carrying it. And remember, TrueTalkRadio.com. You imagine this? Twice a day, 12 noon and 10 o'clock at night.
That's
you can
too
listen
much.
To Cotola. Realize I'm on Thursday nights against myself. They run me from 10 to midnight, and I'm on from 9 to 11. So I overlap myself, which is amazing. Lord knows what else is
competition.
Going on.
Competition.
I'm competing with myself and.
It's like reruns.
Go to those
reruns,
stations.
Right?
Yeah, go to those stations. Well, yeah, they're rebroadcasts. It's only live right here at SRN Media Works. And the rest of it is listening to it again and go to Juice Talk Radio. You could download it.
Yeah.
You know what's great? Download, if you really got time to waste in your life, download it, make it into a WAV file, put it on one of these things like one of these, you know, audio, Audacity, one of these things, right? And go in there and like make me and take words out and make me say different things. And edit me.
You can just make a higher pitch.
Yeah, you could do all that. And then send it to a friend and go, you want to hear the worst show on radio? Listen. And then you give them the one that you doctored. I think that's funny.
what a fun thing to do.
Isn't it?
So much more fun than playing DayZ.
That's right, DayZ. You could go to YouTube, as I said, and you could look at these DayZ things. And then and write and tell me what you think about it. Or don't.
Earlier, you said don't send me emails.
No, don't send me emails saying things like, let's have Jeremy back on the show.
Why?
And please, do not have Big Al in the background. All this stuff goes without saying.
I want to get emails from people saying, say hello to your father for me.
Say hello to your father for me. Instagram, we do a father-brother show. I don't know. Look, you can hear us again. I know we're running out of time. Go to Facebook, FrankCotolo.com, @FrankCotolo.
FrankCotolo.com.
Yeah, isn't it Facebook/FrankCotolo.com? Isn't that
it's Facebook.com/FrankCotolo.
All right, yeah, what he said. And then mine is Twitter.com/FrankCotolo.com. In LinkedIn, FrankCotolo.com/, and then I'm in, and then what? Yahoo? FCotolo. FCotolo@yahoo.com.
I'm at /.com/.
Gmail. I'm at Gmail. Good. Gmail. I don't know. I'm all over the, look, Google me. And you'll find out whatever you need to know.
Just Google me.
If you got time to waste in your life, Google me, read about it. Get my books at the Blurb. Get my books at Lulu. And watch for new ones coming out because it's going to happen. There's a bunch of new ones coming out. Yeah, all at once. And some of them will, and you don't want to buy them? I'll help with you. I don't care. And just do them anyway. I got to do something with them. And this is a day and age when you can just toss out. You can write books. Anybody can do it. It's like I said, when this started, one of the first things I said, when this whole thing started and the a broadband came in and suddenly we were doing...
Yeah.
Here's the one of the first things I said. The best thing about this internet is that anybody can write a book, have a page, have a say, have a presence. Anybody. It's no longer the way it used to be. You don't have to be special anymore. You can have your blog, you do right things, you could be a writer, you could be an entertainer, you could be anything. That's the best thing about this. The worst thing about the internet is that anybody can be a writer or can be anything that's best about it is also the worst thing about it. So be careful. Don't use Wikipedia as your only source. And for God's sakes, watch as much porn as you can. It's better than DayZ. But go watch some of that DayZ and tell me what DayZ, give me your answer. Go and watch it and see if you could do that. And write to me, fcotolo@yahoo.com. And I have an SRN. I think it's Frank.
Do you?
Frank Cotolo at SRN. I have an SRN.
How do I get an SRN?
148.ca. What?
How do I get an SRN?
Get better at what you do.
I'm the co-host. I need an SRN email.
My co-host is Jerry Long. I changed the name.
Jeremy Long.
Jerry Long. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Catskills, let's hear it for Jerry Long.
Jeremy Long.
We got to be moving along. We got to be going because it's time to get the hell out of here.
Cut out the chicanery.
Yeah, it's time to hit this thing. Where the hell is it? Here it goes. This thing right here. And that means that means we're going to have a sound for it.
Oh, you have to put that.
Yeah, I'll put that up. For now, I'll just do this. Over? Yeah. Come over here.
Here.
Put that up there.
Hold on.
Yeah. Make as much noise as you can with it. Leave it over there. See, it sounds a little. It doesn't sound. Oh, man.
Also, get an extra mic and get an extra pair of headphones.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. I'll do that for next week. We'll be here on Thursday. It'll be June, and I don't know what goes on.
I'll be here.
Go to CrotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. There might be a guest, and there might be not a guest. We don't know what's going to happen.
I'll come out for
that. We do know. The Jeremy Long Show is on Weebly-Deebly. What is it? Weebly-Deebly. What is it?
Weebly. You made me mess it up. Weebly.com.
Weebly.com.
And backslash.
The backslash.
Winston Simmons Productions.
Oh, my God. Can you make it longer? Why don't you just write to him or talk to him? At Jeremy Long MD.
At Jeremy Long MD.
At Jeremy Long MD for Twitter. And we'll tell you more about what's happening there and anything else. So we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen between now and then, but we hope to be here. And so in the meantime, good night, Mrs. Ernst Weil, wherever you may be.
Night.
We're going to leave you. Say good night, Jeremy.
Good night.
Okay, he's out of here. Don't forget, you can still get the documentary, Tenacity and Gratitude, only now it costs $57.97.
Inflation.
Send it directly to me, Frank. Until
you can get that on Weebly.
Good night, Mrs. Ernst Weil. I said that. Yeah, we leave now. We got nothing more to say.